no.
Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Monday to everybody. Feels like it shouldn't be Monday. I think it's the overcast, you know?
What day does overcast feel like?
Sunday?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys care if I close the window? The person mowing the lawn is just distracting me a bit.
We've told them about this.
Do they not
know?
Don't
mow the lawn between 1 and 5.
Man.
Mow it during Chris and Amy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not mad at them or anything. It's just like, it's a bit of a nuisance.
Do what you need to do.
Well, I mean.
We can open it back up if everyone gets hot, but just give me a second here.
All right. We'll live. Such a bizarre thing, having an open window.
I think we're the only ones.
A little bit.
Pretty sure we're the only ones in the country.
I wonder why. What if there's something about having a big open window in the middle of downtown that...
What makes us so special?
We're renegades.
Once they figure it out, they'll open their windows.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to take off nationwide, this whole soundproof studio with an open window thing.
KMOX has been tarps off now for about a year. Open that damn window. How's everyone's weekend? Everything good?
I had a great weekend.
Chill.
Good, good?
Chilling.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
That's what I like.
I don't know why you're talking like that, but but okay.
It just felt right in the moment.
Yeah. Well,
maybe it is Sunday.
Yeah. We're napping.
Nah, if it was Sunday, my feet would be up on the recliner. I'd be watching baseball or playing video games.
I am confused about the day because earlier today, Fred Bonnemer asked us about our segment yesterday.
Yes. Yes, that got it started.
Yeah, and then I was like, what's going on? Okay, they must have played something from last week on Sunday, sure. And then I get on Facebook, and it was like, the Mark Reardon Show is live. And it was from 21 hours ago. And I said, am I going crazy? What is today Tuesday? And I just didn't show up yesterday, and nobody cared. What happened?
Oh, how great would that be?
Yeah.
We just missed Monday.
I'm so sketchy, and Fred Bonnemer is so straight that when he said... Oh, I heard you guys in here on a Sunday, and you're making fun of Andrew. I'm like, I guess I was here on Sunday.
I guess we called in. And
source checks out.
Not like he's going to lie.
No.
I did have a dream this weekend that I was like doing a million things, and one of the things I needed to be doing was being on the air, and there was nothing planned. It was like, oh, we have two pre-recorded segments, and then I need to go on and host a couple more segments, and I just didn't do it. Because I was so engrossed in my other tasks. I was pretty happy when I woke up and that turned out to be a dream.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like everyone has that one. Everyone has like a...
Stress work dream.
Stress work, forgot an exam in college. Like we all... Evidently we're only born with two fears, falling and loud noises. And I know this because when Phoebe was one day old and we're at MoBap, who is otherwise great... And the night nurse came in and she wanted to wake Phoebe up. I don't know why, you know. And she went woof like that and, you know, a controlled drop.
Oh.
But not as controlled as I would like. And Phoebe flailed and she almost dropped her. And I almost dropped that lady.
Why? What's the point of doing that?
Oh, she was such a know-it-all nurse. She's like, oh, they're only afraid of two things. I'm like, how many are you afraid of?
You want to see your newborn baby get super scared?
How about just stop? How about just don't scare my baby? Yeah, that's a nurse who's not allowed in the baby's room anymore.
Yeah.
I think. No. Once you start pretending to drop babies to scare them.
Yeah, we made a stink about it.
Good.
Yeah. Then I
tend to drop her. See if she likes
then
it.
Then I went downstairs to get a cheeseburger and came back. My daughter had a new name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Scared little scaredy coward.
Tell me that same nurse didn't change it, right?
She did. She named it after her.
Yeah, wasn't her name Bethany originally?
Haley Lane.
Haley.
Yeah. Haley Lane.
That would have been cute too, but she's definitely a Phoebe.
Yeah, she is.
There's this like stupid name like crossing it out on the on the birth certificate.
No, evidently the lady from the county came to visit when I was getting my cheeseburger And Maureen said, how many Haleys you got? And she said, we got like five on the floor right now.
Oh, wow.
And
wow.
She said, how many Phoebes? And she said, I haven't seen a Phoebe in about a year. So,
well, there you go. Tiebreaker.
Was Haley supposed to be after one of your grandparents?
Yeah, my dad's grandma raised him because my dad's mom died when she was two. Her name was Aura. And her mom was Granny Haley. Which I think was her last name. I don't know. But yeah, so that was going to be after her.
That's interesting. You don't hear a lot of like very old people named Haley. It seems like a more recent. You think it might have been a surname?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you never hear about Confederate War General's wife, Haley.
No, that's a good point. Like you don't hear about like Grandpa Trevor.
Yeah, like some names just seem like more recent names.
It really screws me up when it's like 1735 and they're like, Luis, this is Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
This is my great, 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 great grandmother, Brittany.
It's an ancient name, Kevin.
I had the dumbest thought last night. This is probably the dumbest thing I've ever woken up for, leaned over my bed and written something down. But I was thinking last night about that if you're so horribly disfigured from an accident and they have to identify you through dental records, that seems to happen really quickly. And I'm like, how they know who your dentist was? Can you just go to Dr. Dietzelkamp from 1974 and get my dental records? Like,
yeah, my teeth are changing all the time.
Freedom of information.
I grind my teeth. They're shifting around all over the place.
And be like, whoops, not Rachel Zimmerman.
Yeah.
Can tell you that. Don't know who it is.
Yeah, that sounds like, man, I'm going to be thinking about this now, Dave.
Told you.
After my teeth.
Someone said, I wish I could take credit for this, but someone said that there's so much great press from the Scottish and the Japanese and the English and all the people who are over for the World Cup and they're cleaning up after themselves and they're in love with America. And someone said, it's almost like when you spent a couple of weeks with your cousins during the summer who you didn't get to see because your parents hated each other. It's like, yeah, you're kind of right.
Yeah, actually pretty cool.
Kind of right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that's right. We're just people.
Yeah.
You're just people. Does anyone know why Starmer quit his job? Prime Minister in UK?
Nope.
I don't either.
I did a little snooping because I saw it and I was just fascinated by this whole idea of a political leader actually stepping down when they're not popular, which seems to happen over there quite a bit because this is like the seventh person in the last 10 years. It sounds like it was just they weren't happy with his performance and he was like, okay, well, I'll leave.
Mm-hmm. Good enough.
Which it's very British, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jolly good. I'll be leaving now.
I'll see myself out.
Well, I suppose you don't want me around here.
Meanwhile, here, we're all like, you'll have to kill me first.
Yeah.
Oh, they found out
I'm 107, but I ain't going nowhere.
They found out he was Keith Olbermann in doing a fake British accent.
Man, haven't heard that name in a while.
That name
Yeah, because he's been the prime minister. I mean, look at the guy.
He's been busy.
Never seen him together, have you?
Looks like he gained 10 pounds and became the prime minister.
And this stuff about the reflecting pool, this is the one that I'm not getting angry about. I just keep laughing about it at how stupid it is and how stupid we look. And I said last week, like, I'm not going to blame the president because the reflecting pool is not working. But he did give this no-bid contract. Have you seen the guy he gave the contract to?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
He looks like the Penguin from Batman.
Completely.
He's got a big cigar. He's like, nah, nah, nah.
You have to Google it.
It's unbelievable.
He's ridiculous.
He's a cartoon villain.
He weighs 900 pounds. He has a jet black comb over. He has a big cigar. It's incredible.
Yeah. I mean,
he is the guy we paid $20 million.
He's like Bluto. We just gave Bluto a big contract.
How is it possible to be awarded a $1.7 million no-bid government contract?
Yeah, It was 18 or 19 million. Yeah, you just get to do stuff. And whoever screwed up, someone screwed up pretty bad. And it's the 250th anniversary, and we're looking real dumb. And now the president is blaming vandals saying that the Democrats are coming out in the middle of the night and tearing up the liner. And a former Olympian was arrested yesterday because he admittedly, in front of a bunch of people filming, stopped his bike and reached in and grabbed one of the pieces that was breaking off, one of the hundreds of pieces, and he got arrested. And this is a true fact. There have now officially been more people arrested for vandalizing the reflecting pool than in the Epstein file.
Oh, for God's sake.
We've arrested like 8 of them.
I mean, just forget the pure basic scientific fact that what they put in there eats paint.
Yes.
I mean, it's just like, we know it does. Try it at home. See how that works out. And we saw the people with their little jugs pouring that crap in there.
Thousands.
And now that you know that that guy was the one in charge of the whole thing,
it makes perfect
sense. The penguin was in charge of it. Like, yeah, I can see why it didn't work out very well. Too bad you didn't ask someone, I don't know, that manages large pools or maybe aquariums, how to handle algae. Nope, just pour some chemicals in there. Whatever they do, well, then we'll just blame it on someone else.
It does look silly. It does look dumb. Rach, you frustrated with the Purple Shirt Brigade?
I mean, I just don't understand what they're collecting money for, and I don't really like... I don't like it when I'm coming off of 44 and then I'm like, oh great, now someone's like tapping on my window and asking me. I don't have time to get into like, okay, so what is the organization for? And then you feel like a jerk for not interacting. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't like them much either. They're always at the intersection where the big Amoco is, like always. And they're super up and they're super friendly and they always like they make you wave back and they make you say no. And yeah.
The ones that you're seeing, do they all have signage somewhere that says like a T-shirt that says, hey, this is for our little football club or this is for the boys club or whatever?
These guys have more than most. It's like they're a group, right? Okay. I see the same guys over and over. Their shirts say something like, you know, helping the helpless or, you know, some sort of a. You know, phrase like that. But I, and again, I've never said, like, tell me, do you have a 501c3?
Right.
But it does feel like ick.
Also, don't be like obstructing traffic or tapping on people's windows.
That's why when I sent you guys that text this morning, when I was just like, I can't take it, it's like I'm sitting at the stoplight trying to get off the exit, get onto Jefferson from 44, trying to come to work. And it's like, I have two people standing directly in front of my car. To where if the light were to turn green, I'm now going to have to be like, hey, please move so I can go. Like, that's the part that bothers me is getting in the middle of the road and then, like, touching my car. If I want to interact, I will look up and interact with you. But, like, come on.
I can see where, because I guess panhandlers have a First Amendment right. I think that was the case. But I can see where you could have a right to stand on the corner. I don't see... why you could or should have a right to walk out into the road. Like, if I just got out of my car in the middle of Forest Park Parkway, you know, just asses to elbows in the drive time traffic, and just started walking up and down and waving at people, someone would 100% call the cops and should. Like, what's this crazy guy doing? But if you're asking for money, then it's like, oh, can't touch him.
We sure about that? It's like if they're obstructing traffic. Like if they're not, well, then we obviously can't.
Well, I'm sure it's like everything else. There's technically and practically.
Right.
And practically, I've never seen anyone been made to stop doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know. Sun KMOX. Happy gloomy Monday that still feels like a Sunday. So we'll all get through this as we always do. Kev, what the hell's going on with golf galleries? Saw U.S. Open again yesterday. People screaming and yelling and acting a fool and being especially mean to the guy that won because they wanted Scottie Scheffler to win. And even Scheffler's like, yeah, Just bad news.
Well, I think it's simply a reflection of where the world is. People just know they can be jerks. They know that it's they'll get away with it. You know, I mean, it's not like it's happening every week, right, on the tour, but it's happening more than it used to. And I don't know if it's tied into social media, if people are just trying to, you know, put clips out there and, you know, like, I just filmed this and either I did it or I saw somebody. I don't know what what's feeding it, but it's just so dumb. Like, if you're a golf fan, you understand the etiquette. You understand how it's supposed to be, right? I mean, you understand, like, what the expectations are for your behavior at the course. So these are either not really fans who are just there, I don't know, for clicks, or you've grown your fan base to the point where people who don't get it are there. Mm-hmm. It's possible. But
is that happening with tennis, Rach? Is it becoming more unruly?
I mean, I don't think the crowd is necessarily. There's a huge problem in tennis where if people lose a match, they're like inundated with death threats and harassment via DMs, but it's not really happening there at the match itself. I mean, people are just crazy, and a lot of it is this. I mean, the majority of that is people betting on the match, and then when they lose their money, they got to take it out on somebody, so.
What a terrible idea it was, especially this time in history. Let's just, to everything else, let's just add everyone's going to just gamble on everything. This should work out really well.
I mean, most people are able to handle it just fine.
Yeah.
That's the thing is, like, I don't think it's the typical, like, you know, sports app, the app user who's reacting like this. It's probably the people who are gambling beforehand, too.
Yeah.
So this isn't, it's just sad that it gets to that point. It's sad that the direct line of communication has led to just mostly complete negatives for these players.
Right. It's not new to gambling being legalized. It's a social media thing. They have the ability to do it and they feel like it makes them feel better, so they do it. And it's exactly what it is. I mean,
yeah,
it's just like any other thing. Why do people go say horrible things on Twitter even when it's not about a bet?
Right.
Because it's a free place to take shots at people where they can't take shots back at you.
Right.
And if they do, you can block them, ignore them, mute the conversation, or just ignore it completely and say, I don't care. I got what I wanted. I got your attention.
And I think if it would have been available in like the 70s or the 80s, it would have been the exact same thing. It's just for the first time in history, you have a direct line of communication to these athletes and to these celebrities. And I mean, they can choose to not look at it, I guess, but doesn't make it any better.
Kind of disappointing, you know, that for the first time in history, we've never been more anonymous and we've never been more able to say or do something crappy and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than going, oh, I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? Why would I yell in the middle of a guy's backswing when he's playing for the U.S. Open? Why would I do that? Rather than making that choice, you're like, you know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, Wheels, do you agree with me? Ultimately, I kind of just feel sorry for those people, because like you said, it's like that's how they feel important. And it's like, oh, I mean, that's like a huge bummer if that's the way you feel important, is by harassing other people online or just in general ruining things for other people and ruining people's moments. You're like a sad person. That's a huge bummer, and I wish you had something else going on in your life that you felt good about.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for them. I wish that was better, but you can't take your frustrations out on other people. I mean, that's where my sympathy stops. I feel bad for someone who feels that way.
Yeah.
I don't feel bad for them when they act out. There's help out there, man. I mean, there are people you can call that can help you with how you feel. And if you don't take that step, you don't get to go just disrupt other people's lives, because that will give you a momentary bit of satisfaction.
You know what, though? Maybe this is a jerk thing to say, but my guess would be if there's 10 million people who are absolute a-hole trolls, that out of the 10 million, maybe 10 went, I should probably get therapy. I just don't think the numbers are good there.
Yeah. And I, you know, the hard part is it's not a large number of people that do it. It just seems like it because it gets amplified.
Those few really fill the bucket.
Absolutely, they do.
Like it's,
I don't know what the percentage is, if it's 1% or 5%, but it's a low percentage.
You don't got to go looking for it.
But no, but it's amplified for sure.
Yeah. Living out all your fantasies. I've been down since you went away. It wasn't love, but it felt okay. Rach, what's a viral dot cake?
Have you guys seen these on TikTok?
I have.
I'm not.
It's basically, from what I can tell, it's just a little cake.
Yep.
And then you ice it.
Yep.
And then you dip it in those sprinkles that are just dots.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which I love those.
You completely cover it.
Yeah, you completely cover it. I love those sprinkles. Those are my favorite sprinkles. But for some reason, it just really bothers me that people are like, it's the viral dot cake. No, it's a cake.
It's a cake with sprinkles.
Is that like a birthday cake?
Yeah.
It's sort of like that, but like Wheel said, it's completely covered in the dots. Like
there's
can't
no,
see
you
the
can't
icing.
See anything else. Yeah. You only see dots
so
on the top.
So it's just a cake with a ton of sprinkles.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, I just, every time I see people post about it, I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
Why do we have to label things when they already existed?
Yep.
It bothers me.
Yep. Yeah, it's a cake with sprinkles.
Remember when the owner of Frinkle Sprinkles came in?
Yes.
Like 15 years ago.
Is that a real place? Frinkle Sprinkles? Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah. And it was his dream. And he inherited some money and it would open to Sprinkle Place.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so awkward because you know, people bring us free stuff all the time. And we invited the guy to be on. And he came in and he brought us like each a bag of sprinkles and gave them to us. We're eating them. We're like, oh, these are the best sprinkles ever. And he goes, those are like $8.95 a piece.
Yeah.
We go, okay.
It was hard to, like.
Let me fill out the check here while I'm.
So he charged you or he was just
he
saying.
He charged
like...
you. I don't remember whether we paid him or not, but.
We didn't pay him.
Okay.
But he was like, well, that was really more of like a, you know. You could buy some if you wanted.
Oh, so it was like a pampered chef party. Like, I'm going to bring it to you.
He thought it was. we didn't treat it like
so
that.
So how big was this container or bag or whatever?
A couple gallons.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm kidding.
No, like a mulch bag. Seed. Like a sunflower seed size.
Yeah, it was like $9. A little pouch.
It was plenty of sprinkles.
Okay, so it was a lot.
It's plenty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about sprinkles and about something stupid like a viral dot cake is that like a little bit of sprinkles goes quite a long way.
I agree. I don't need it. It seems like it would get way too crunchy.
It'd get way too crunchy
fast.
And like.
Well, it sounds good.
I know this is rich coming from me, but like, my God, a little too much sugar.
Yeah, Vic brought up that we lost Jill from Jilly's Cupcakes, yeah. Jill Siegel.
Oh, no.
Jill and I go back to 2000 because she was a seller at Emmis for a really long time. And she sold my very first live I talk about, the sex shop. Mm-hmm. That was Jill. Wow. And that was us teaming up. She was great. I love Jill. I didn't see her much in the past few years, but she was always fun and just so cool and built Jilly's into such a success. So
big supporter of the DGS. Always had our back. Was a client for on and off.
Very sad. She was fantastic. We love Jill. Did you guys hear that the staff now has to check the president's trash?
Why is that?
Because they found that he was throwing out sterling silverware from the White House, just throwing it in the wastebasket when he would finish eating.
What?
So they had to start going in and fishing it out and putting it back in.
I mean, I guess I appreciate that they're taking the time to save the priceless White House silver.
I don't understand. Who throws away non-disposable
I think
utensils?
You do.
I've done it.
Probably billionaires.
Yeah, by accident, not constantly.
Not constantly, but I've done it. I've also done it on purpose.
Hey, look,
before.
You don't want the silverware sitting on the Resolute desk. It's an eyesore. Just throw it in the wastebasket.
And also,
you
like,
don't have to wait for someone to come in and
nobody
take it off your
can
desk.
Say, "Hey, Mr. President, that's actual silver. Please, probably don't do that."
No, they can't.
We
say
can't
that.
Say anything like that to him.
No, you really can't.
No, I genuinely really do not think. I genuinely don't think you can.
That's kind of a problem, isn't it? Like, you can't tell the president of the United States to not throw away something valuable that's paid for by taxpayer money?
Yes.
Also, why do you have to have silverware?
Yeah, they should start just giving.
I mean, you can have it for
forks.
like they can have the good stuff. You know, like every
the
one of us, right?
Spork.
Everybody's got the good stuff when special guests come over.
All right.
We don't need to be constantly dining with actual silver.
So you're saying the White House should work on a fine China basis?
Sure, yeah.
Fine China for fancy guests.
Have some stuff for the you know, the diplomatic guests that are going to come around, and then everything else is just day-to-day. You know, we all have the day-to-day.
Yeah, you could get a silverware set at Target for like $40.
See, this is part of the whole, like,
throw that away,
we got to stop treating people in politics like they're special. Because then they believe it.
White House interns having to bring down all the boxes of China from
no
the
more,
attic.
You know, private when flights, no more buying
President of Germany comes
stocks
over.
Under the radar with inside information, no more
By
expensive
way,
nonsense. Just be normal.
Speaking of the White House, I feel like this is, it's not a Mandela moment, but I must have made a huge misunderstanding. Because in Dave's timeline, a couple years ago, the country, the president, I don't know, was gifted a jet from Qatar, right? Y'all remember this?
Yeah, it was like last year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my memory was they said, well, if we could ever use this, it would take years because for all we know, it's just a flying bug.
You have to take it apart and then put it back together.
It back together. It's going to cost, you know, $1 billion. Well, evidently it's ready because the last one took its last flight. And now the president's going to be flying on this, and they're showing pictures of it. And I'm not even saying this to be like, the president sucks, he's so stupid. I'm saying, like, I missed a whole part of life. I just, all of a sudden, we're flying the...
Well, doesn't he get to keep this jet once he leaves office?
I think so.
Yeah, it sounds like we all heard that story about how, oh, yeah, you know, you can't use it because you'd have to, like, completely dismantle it. Scan every part, clean every part, and then put it all back together. And we were like, ha, yeah. And then he was like, sounds good. Book it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's get it done in a year.
He's like, bet.
Yeah, bet.
And, of course, we have to pay for all the changes. And
don't bring that up.
Yeah.
You're spoiling the president's special present from Qatar.
Yeah. Well, he's such a special boy. This is what I mean. It's not even just him. It's just all of them. Like, stop. You're nothing special. You're just people who compromised on your morals to make money. That's what you are. You sell out. You sell us out so you can stay in power and make more money. So.
Also, I don't feel like I should be the one bringing this up. Someone at a higher pay grade should. But we've had another plane have to make an emergency landing because a passenger opened up the door.
Ooh.
Maybe we shouldn't make it so easy for passengers to open up the door. Maybe we shouldn't even make it possible. You know, like the whole you're in the exit row. You have to say yes out loud. That's, oh, really? This feels official. Like, maybe there should be a code or something.
Okay, I just flew like 2 weeks ago, and I had never really witnessed, because I just don't have a lot of experience flying. I had never witnessed the, like, going down, like, the flight attendants, we were right behind the emergency seats, like, one row behind. So I got to witness, you know, her walking up and saying, like, okay, I need verbal confirmation from each of you that you understand your responsibilities here. And I'm looking at some of the people in those rows, and I'm like, these people? they just are going to be sitting next to the handle that opens the plane door.
These are the people we're trusting.
And we're just going to trust the call of the void on this one that
never,
they don't...
Never met them.
We're going to trust these people that they don't have, like, the OCD that's going to make them think for the next 4 hours about popping this handle.
Well, and also...
Evidence is pretty clear that it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, true. I've never sat in the emergency row, but if the flight attendant approaches me for help on anything, I kind of want a discount on my seat. Like, now you're putting
me, that too.
You're putting
you're
me in
me
charge
a job.
Of saving everyone if we're in a crash. Like,
I thought that too. I was like,
in fairness, you still get to be the first one out.
That's true.
Because she said that. She's like, you're going to have to be the one to save everybody. And I was kind of like whispering to Megan. I was like, you work here. I don't work here.
Like, yeah. Why do I have to do your job? I'm happy to help. Hey,
why is it my job to save everyone?
$300 for this flight.
You're missing the point. You also get to go first.
And you get more legroom.
Yeah, like, I mean, I like the idea. Give me that responsibility because I'm the first one out the door. That's okay.
No, Mr. Hero.
No, I'm just saying that's not heroic to be I'm the first one out the door. That's not the opposite.
He's closing it behind him.
Women and Kevin first.
They're not like, okay, you need to open the door and then stand there and wait for everyone else to leave.
After you.
I'm like, I will take that as my payment. My payment is I get off first.
I'm not going down with this ship. I'll tell you that.
You know, if I'm with the family, shove them out first, then I'm like third, you know?
Oh, third.
Yeah. We are a small family. There's only three of us.
Yeah, I thought we'd forgotten someone.
Yeah. Kevin's like, okay, one kid, wife, me, and then last kid. You can come after.
Yeah. Don't have a second kid, so I'm not a problem.
Welcome back, DGS. Apropos of the plane conversation, Dave Hines says, yeah, it's kind of needs to be easy in a crash, get the door out. Sorry to be morbid, but it's difficult to retrieve a code from a dead flight crew. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, dude. I think I'd rather take my chances that we can't open the door than that any swamp goat in there can open it anytime they want. Maybe that's just how jaded I've become of my fellow man. Which is why I'm tackling you if you get up to pray. That's just, you get up to pray or witness to me, that's one not very big step from opening the door.
That just happened again, right? There was a story about it.
Yep. Lots of praying, lots of doors being opened. A judge has ruled that there's nothing wrong with two large eggplant and peach sculptures in Maryland.
I mean, they're just...
There's nothing wrong with them.
Just produce.
Yeah. Said, I don't know what you guys are making a big deal out of.
They ain't hurt nobody.
It's because the emojis have everyone's mind in the gutter.
It's what it is. There's a fake cancer cure making the rounds. That's great. Where patients are sealed naked in a plastic bag with only their heads out. Then their bodies are gassed with chlorine dioxide, which is industrial bleach.
And someone thinks this works?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Yes. A lot of people, evidently a lot of people have been trying it.
We're so desperate to like go counter to actual medicine. Like,
yeah.
Go ask a doctor that treats cancer patients. That's probably your best bet.
There's a new magic number for a comfortable retirement, and just got bigger.
$7 billion.
According to Northwestern Mutual, the average American is going to need $1.46 million to retire.
There's got to be a time frame on that, though, right? Like...
Sometime before your retirement age.
Well, yeah, but I mean, in 30 years, that number is going to be different, yes. Right?
Yes.
Right. Typically that money grows as the stock market continues.
Like if you are my age
right,
now.
Right. If you're close to retiring now, yes.
Right.
So your number will be larger, but you're hopefully also your investments will take that time and build that up.
Yeah, hopefully.
Always the key word there.
I did see a story earlier today. There's over 200 cities in the United States where a starter home costs over $1 million.
Wow.
Starter home.
Jeez. My first time I learned how expensive houses were in L.A., my brother was living with... I think they were renting. He was living with a couple other people in like a roommate situation at a place in Echo Park, and it was like $890,000, and it was like a 2-bedroom, 800-square-foot house with one bathroom in it.
Yeah, that's crazy. They're now coming out with healthier wool diapers that don't need to be washed for a month.
What?
Yes. They cost between $50 and $100 a piece, but a child or elderly person can wear them for a month.
How?
Yeah.
Do they, like, does it have some machinery where it just takes all the bad stuff and just, like, fires it out a window?
I guess it just...
Because that stuff's going to live in there for that month.
Holds it.
But, like, it's there, right there, like, on you.
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand, because the diaper rash is caused by the waste being on your skin, right? Like, or
right.
the baby's
yes,
skin.
Yes, that's correct.
The wool is not just, like, magically wiping that away. And also, why would you want to have it on for a month?
Right.
Well, like, what problem okay. are we solving?
But like, I'm assuming this is just for like wetting the diaper. This has to be, right?
No, it's for both.
Because like
they said, if they had a number two blowout, like we've all seen kids do,
right, right,
you'd have to change it immediately. But other than that, it can take number two.
But where does the poop go?
Kev, I've been asking that for years.
It's just there, right? Like, there's no compartment that opens up. It's like, here you go. Slide in there.
But it's made of wool.
Okay.
Man, cloth. Okay, so I always think, like, oh, if I have a baby, like, I'm going to do the cloth diapers because it's better for the environment. I actually do know for a fact, though, the second that baby goes one time, it's like, it's got to go in
no,
the trash. It's got to go in
no,
the trash.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
I wonder how many people, like, started with good intentions
lots.
Like that, and then were like, give me the Pampers immediately.
Yeah, like everyone in my parents' generation did exactly that. As soon as they had the option to not use cloth diapers, they stopped it.
Man, I can't get over the fact that there used to be diaper pins, and you just have those big, sharp pins right next to your baby's little tummy.
I remember being
That's
stuck
scary.
With them.
Mm. Being stuck?
Yeah. Mine had big blue and yellow ducks on the end. Mm. So I think I'm older than Pampers. I wonder if they had disposable diapers when I was a baby.
I wonder if they did, but maybe they were like not as commonly used.
Well, they precede you a little bit.
They're just wrapping you up in newspapers.
They hit the shelves in 1961, those Pampers.
Okay. Well, they weren't tried and true then by 64.
No, by then they were not mainstream yet. Right.
Yeah.
Picturing your parents like side-eyeing them at the grocery store like, I don't know about these.
What's this
newfangled
thing?
And my parents wash them themselves. A lot of people will, if they
just
do.
Had a service, yeah.
They'll have a service.
Oh, okay.
But we had basement washers and dryers, and that's where they wash my stuff.
Mm.
So.
No, thank you.
Yeah, and then I don't remember the wipes, diaper wipes being a huge thing when I was little. Like, I don't really remember getting changed or anything like that. But then, like, being in nursery at church and stuff, I just don't really remember the wipes. But now it's like, gotta get the wipes.
Yeah, the wipes were a
must
thing
be on hand at
when
all times.
When my kid was a baby.
Oh, okay.
She's 29, so yeah. I don't know about much, but I think they were when my sister's roughly, like, your age range.
Yeah.
And we had them for when she was a baby, too.
Went through a lot of Aquaphor.
But I don't think there are as many, like, versions, variety,
right.
like, 8 million different kinds of wipes for everybody's, I don't know, preferences?
Is that what I thought you were going to say?
I was going to say butt.
I wish I would. That would have been funny.
In their butts.
A different one for everybody.
What shape is your butt?